This morning our reading from the gospel and from our reading for the sermon as well comes from the gospel of Mark in chapter 4 verses 35 through 41. And this is a passage of scripture that can be read so metaphorically. There's so much just richness in this passage of scripture and how it can apply to our lives. So I invite you to hear these words starting there at verse 35, chapter 4, Mark's gospel. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Growing up, you know, on the Great Plains, is, you know, being here, seeing storms is just a part of life. Especially where I grew up in Kansas, spring storms, you know, starting about late March, April, into May, especially in April there, was just a common part of the evening, of nighttime even. In fact, I sleep quite well during a thunderstorm, but some of the best sleep I believe I get is during that low rumble of a thunderstorm. Now, not to pick on my wife, Christina, she did not grow up with that in Washington State, and she's kind of scared of thunderstorms. But she has one on me, though, is that I am terrified of tsunamis and the idea of earthquakes. And in fact, when we have visited the Washington coast and the Oregon coast, there are signs that say, you know, tsunami evacuation route with a little man, you know, running away from the waves. And I'm like, why would anybody want to live here where you could have that happen, that kind of natural disaster come our way? But if we think, though, a bit broader about storms or even natural disasters, and this passage of scripture, there's a richness, a connection that we can build with the teachings of Christ. For in this passage of scripture out of Mark, we see that storm coming up. The disciples have gone out onto the sea, and they're experiencing, you know, this, the waves crashing, the water coming into the boat. And they cry out, you know, to Christ, how can he be, you know, sleeping? He's resting here. How can he, you know, you handle this? And there's so many different ways of translating, understanding, but we can catch that emotion there that Christ is there in the boat just calmly sleeping while everybody else is terrified. But if we think about what we've gone through in our lives, moments we have experienced, this passage can become very real. We may not have been in a boat that was getting swamped in the middle of a sea or the ocean, but that feeling of fear, of the world coming to an end, of crying out to God and not feeling that there is much of a response coming from God, that feeling, that is something we do experience. But we have Christ's response to it, though. It's one that I will be honest, I have struggled with, because when I think about, you know, assurance, you know, from Scripture, I don't think of it in forms of rebuke, of coming, you know, in this way from Christ. But there's a reason for it. There's a reason that I believe that Christ is kind of rebuking the disciples there. And instead of saying, you know, it's all going to be all right, he comes back, you know, in verse 40. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, when I am terrified, I don't want to hear words like that. But there's a sharpness here. You know, a driving point coming from Christ. For us as the people of God, when we face those moments of fear, of turmoil, of uncertainty, those moments like that is when we are called to rely and lean in to our faith, not run away from it. And I think this moment here isn't so much no done, no to be, what's the word I want to use here, to be, a sign of punishment or anything like that, or, a strict, whipping of words or anything by any means at all, but rather to drive home part of our faith story as Christians, a part of our faith story as a people of God. Because there's so many points in Scripture, so many points in our story, as followers of Christ, where the words have come for us to not be afraid, for us to have that faith, for us to trust, and yet we still struggle with that. I believe it's a very human response, because we're in those moments of fear and uncertainty. We're not necessarily thinking as clearly as we should. But I believe it's in those moments though, that God's grace is ever present, that God's presence is all the more in our lives, that we are not abandoned. Now, many years ago, I went to a revival that was in my home church, and there was our district superintendent. And if you're not familiar with who a district superintendent is, it's the person who kind of oversees an area of New Methodist Church. And this particular DS, he did revivals, coming to local churches and would preach for several nights in a row. And there was a phrase he used that has stood out to me, from those revivals, was, "Folks, we're going to read some Bible tonight." And he would get up there, he'd have that Bible, and so just get ready, we're going to read some Bible. So I'm going to channel some Pastor Andrew here this morning and say, we're going to read some Bible this morning. So if you have a Bible with you, if you have a phone with Bible Gateway or something like that on your, I would encourage you to get it out, because there's some scriptures I believe that Christ would call us to lean into, to rely on. Scriptures that Christ would have known. And I believe scriptures that for us, the people of faith, can encourage us and call us back to our faith and our grounding in God. If you go in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, in chapter 1, verse 9, this is a passage here given to Joshua. Joshua, who took over from Moses. Moses had been leading the people in the wilderness, and he pulled them out of Egypt, was a strong leader, the leader that the people of Israel needed. But Moses was human, and he passed. And so when the mantle was passed over to Joshua, and here in this chapter 1, verse 9, it says here, "I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." It is words given to a person who finds himself in new leadership, in a new place. He is now putting himself out there and has a great task ahead of him to lead the people into the promised land. So fear is certainly an understandable response there. But God's response are those words, "I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." One of my other favorite passages of scriptures of that assurance is in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 29, verse 11. And some of you may know these words by heart. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope." And Jeremiah is experiencing these words, channeling these words to a people who now found themselves away from their homes. They were exiled from their home in Judea, where they had settled. And this is many, many, many years after Joshua had led them into the promised land. They were away from their homes, did not have certainty, did not know what their future would be. And here we have God speaking to them, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope." If you jump over into the New Testament, the words in John, the book of John, chapter 14, verse 1 there, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." These are words given by Christ to the disciples, where Christ knew he would be going to the cross. He knew he would be crucified. He knew he would be leaving them, you know, and that earthly, you know, form that he had been there with them would be facing his death. And is sharing these words, those assurance: do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, the last passage of Scripture I'm going to share here in our quick burst through passages of do not be afraid. Christ would not have had these words exactly. These are words from the Apostle Paul. But these are words that personally mean a lot to me when I am facing fear, when I am facing uncertainty and doubt. And it comes out of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul, who put himself out there, who was once a person who persecuted Christians, had that road experience where he experienced the living Christ, experienced that resurrected Christ, and then became a fervent missionary for the church, and traveled all throughout the Mediterranean world, going to all those places, found himself thrown into prison, all those experiences, and he has these words: for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For me personally, those words have carried me through stuff, have carried me through experiences with family members and friends when I have been petrified, when I have been worried, when I'm not sure which way is up or down. And I believe it's a reminder for us when we face those moments of fear, when we are like the disciples in the boat who are crying out to Christ, these words remind us of whose we are, who we belong to, where our hope comes from, and what kind of hope even. A hope and a grace and a love that is everlasting. A grace and a hope and love that went through, you know, the death of Christ and carried through the resurrection, showing us that death and despair truly do not have the final say, but rather that hope, that new life, a new beginning in Christ. That is what defines us. And so I think back to that moment where the apostles, the disciples were in the boat with Jesus and he is crying out, you know, comes back to them and says, have you no faith? It's because we come from a story of great faith. We come from a faith tradition, a spiritual tradition, a story where God has been at work in the lives of people for so long, calling them to have hope, to cast their worries aside, and to have that faith and trust in Him. Yes, we will struggle at times with our faith. Yes, we will have moments where our worry is completely understandable. But even in those moments, our God is still our God. Our God is still with us. We are not abandoned. We are not forsaken. Instead, our God goes forward with us as we face those moments. For our God is a God of hope and life, now and forevermore. Amen.